is directed at Police Aid. This is. Then release the mic button like this. And listen to ensure no one else called at the same time you have. That prevents doubling. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically, like I did, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or a question. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I'll be at control station for this evening. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Good evening. Here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. I have one item, not sure you'd call it a question, but a little discussion item, and your signal is gradually getting better.
Here is Kilo Charlie 1, Mike Victor X-ray, Kevin in Groton. Good evening. Bob and Montel, good evening. Okay, NEP recognizes so far. Kevin, KA6BDG. Another Kevin, KC1MBX. And a Bob, W1RPQ. Any further check-ins, please call now.
November, Kilo, 1, Victor, Steve, and Coventry. No questions yet.
That further recognizes Steve, K1V. Any further check-ins before we get started, please call now. Okay, I think we're going to go ahead and go get started. Hopefully readability will improve with time. Okay, we're going to go right to the first person on the list who actually has an item that he would like to bring to the net. So let's start with that. Kevin, KA6BDG, please proceed.
Thanks, Tim, and I don't want to jinx you, but you're doing a lot better. So I think we just have interesting summertime conditions tonight. At least that sounds good to me. That's my theory. I'm sticking to it. Okay, so like I said, I don't know whether anybody will have anything to say about this. It's more of a, well, you know, I'll say my piece. It has to do with a particular radio, and if anybody has any thoughts for me. But I have to preface, because it's appropriate, by saying it was a challenging start to the net for me, because I was in the other room on the computer, and you'll see why in a sec, and something caught my attention, and I did not want to come in here and set up the recorder and get ready to do the net, because I found something that I thought was extremely interesting that I'll talk about in a sec. Then I came in here and got ready, and there was some discussion about whether Tim's signal was going to be usable. And somehow in the process of that discussion, I lost the recorder. So I had to run in the other room, get another recorder, come back in the shack, start recording halfway through the preamble, at which point I found the first recorder. All right, now that we're all settled in and we've had story time, let me reset. So I'm on the internet, and for some reason I'm thinking about the TIPSnet coming up, and do I have anything to question or talk about? I got thinking about DMR radio, and thus far DMR, the idea of getting on DMR radio for me has been kind of challenging as a sightless or a totally blind ham. But I thought, well, I'll ask Mr. Google what he thinks about this, because Mr. Google knows a lot of stuff. So I went and typed in my browser, ham radio DMR for blind amateurs, I think is what I did a search on. And sure enough, something popped up, and I believe it's a YouTube video, and I'll happily watch it after the nap, that discusses something called the radiodity. That's R-A-D-I-O-D-D-I-T-Y, radiodity, Golf Delta-77 Sierra, that's GD-77S. And from the quick description that I had time to read, it sounds like it's the cat's meow for someone who can't see and wants to use DMR. This radio will do digital as well as analog, and let me reset. I'm not sure if it's a handheld radio. I didn't have time to look. But it talks all the menus and keystrokes and function. It has voice guidance, in other words. So the little computer will talk to me. I did not get a chance to investigate and see how much this radio costs. That's probably going to be the end of my excitement right there. I'll turn out to be hundreds and hundreds of dollars. But I just thought I'd share that if anybody had any thoughts about either the Radiodity brand, which I'd never heard of, or any other thoughts for someone who's visually challenged and wants to get on DMR. K6PDG, back to net. I'll come up for air now.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I hope you didn't stay down so long you still got starved for oxygen. No, that's a good question. I know as far as DMR goes, I have a Kinect Systems 750HT. And I guess it's one of the things you should ask yourself about it, about this, it's, well, actually my comment on DMR is that it's more similar to a VHF than an HF, in the sense that on HF, there's very few actual channels per se. You're sweeping the band, whereas with a VHF, most people don't sweep the VHF band. They set up their repeaters and they go click, 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 and they know where they are and which repeater they're on. And that's the way I treat DMR. Now, other people may do it differently, but that's my thought. But let's go on down to Kevin in Groton. And I don't know if he's actually gotten into the DMR, but we'll see. Let's see what comments he might have on this or anything else. KC1MVX, this is KC1TWR.
Good evening, Tim. And yeah, you're sounding a lot better now. I don't know, some weather anomaly or something may be going through, but yeah, you're sounding perfectly clear to me now. No, I'm not doing anything digital at the moment. That's sort of my next step, that and CW. Right now I'm going to focus on just being able to do HF, you know, regular single sideband. But I did finally finish doing my applications for Red Cross and CT Aries today, so I should be that there soon. I also joined, I got a membership for ARRL, and Kevin, other Kevin, I submitted an application for the Kilowatt Club, so I'm not sure how active that email is, but there should be something in there for you guys. So yeah, hopefully I'll get all those memberships lined up, and then I can start doing some fun stuff. CT Aries looks like they need people doing Skywarn, so I'm going to look into that too. A whole lot of stuff out there. Whole lot of stuff. So just taking it one bite at a time. KC1NVX, back to net control.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Kevin. And yes, the hobby is multifaceted. Definitely. You know, it's incredible what little branches of interest that there are and where amateur radio has taken people. Just a quick comment to the group, just a reminder before we go on that this weekend is the VHF contest and by ARRL, and basically it's everything above 50 megahertz. So that includes the 6 meter, 2 meter, 440, 770 centimeters, 220, etc. And it's CW voice and digital. So the rules are out there on the ARRL website. Just search for ARRLVHF contest takes you right to it. But let's get back to, let's go on down to Bob, who's no stranger to DMR, and he may have some other comments, of course, as well. W1RPQ, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet.
Well, good evening, Tim, and everyone else this evening. This is W1RPQ. Well, Kevin, the Radiodity brand is pretty decent. I think a lot of them are made in, if not the same factory, then in the very same area, and just a little bit different packaging. The radio that you're looking at is $77. So not an expensive radio, but it does come with some good recommendations on the voice activated. The interesting thing about DMR is all of the repeaters in Connecticut, and there are several, and they're all linked together, have a limited number of channels that you can talk into, and rooms that you can go to. Most of us that get pretty active in it end up getting a little hotspot. Josh and I make our own, or you can buy them, but what that does is it opens up all the rest of the DMR rooms. 3100 is nationwide, and a lot of people are on those channels and talking, so you can branch out from what's available locally just by hitting Ledger or by hitting Waterford with a small dongle to connect you up to the rest of it. Fairly easy to learn. I would definitely say that if you get one, I'd be more than happy to come up and sit with you and go through it, because I'm sure it'll be a little daunting out of the box. But they're fairly simple. There's a couple of controls on the top for changing the channels, and other than that, it's a fairly simple radio. Let me reset. Another good source for DMR would be Chuck, N-A-1-C-N. He spends a lot of time and monitors the DMR channels as well, and he would be another good source for assistance. But I really enjoy it, Kevin, because I can have a clear, concise conversation with an amateur radio operator in New Zealand, clearer than a Norwich repeater. So from that aspect of it, I really do enjoy it. It can be temperamental. I mean, it's one of those things that if the internet has an issue, then it's kind of down, but then it'll come back up. But a fun issue, and for less than $100, not that expensive to get into. And again, myself, Chuck, Josh, there's several of us that have DMR rigs and can assist with that. So that's what I've got for this round. Let me turn it back to Net Control. This is W1RPQ.
Thank you, Bob. I know we could count on you to come forth with some very good information about DMR. I think Kevin will be happy with that. And before we go to a call out for people to call in, we're going to go ahead and go to Steve, NK1V, see if he has any thoughts about DMR or anything else for that matter. NK1V, this is KC1TWR and the TIPSnet.
Yeah, I was looking at that radio. It actually looks, I had one of the TYTs. I've never heard anything bad about the Radiodity stuff, and the price is right. Like Bob says, it's in, I've looked at other stuff on their site and stuff, and they seem to make some decent, you know, for the price range. I played around with DMR a couple of years ago. I didn't get asked for a lot of help, and I kind of got frustrated with it and gave it up. I've since then done quite a bit of work with D-Star, and which is, I'm not saying it's better, but is a little bit different setup. It's a little more easier because you can just inhale the stuff in off the internet, and just the radio just takes it and it works. But it also, DMR has some extra things that you can do that's you know, a little more fun. I have since then done some work also with my newer scanner, programming in stuff from like the CTLR networks and stuff for the troop and all that stuff, and it's not a dissimilar concept, so that's actually helped me a lot. So I'm actually kind of maybe thinking about returning, and maybe I'll get one of those radios myself, because I sold the other one, and start up again. I'll see how much I need. A little more pain. But back to that, NK1B.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Steve. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Looking for anyone else that would like to join, please come with your call sign now. Okay, with that, we're going to go ahead and circle back to the top of the list. And, Kevin, was any of this information helpful to you at all? K6PDG, KC1TWR.
Absolutely. The $77 was very helpful. I like that. Yeah, good comments, Bob. Give me some stuff I knew and some stuff I didn't know, and it was just perfect. So let's see here. Well, one of the things I know just from listening to people talk about DMR, and I try to listen to the conversations carefully and learn. I don't always do that, but I try to. Is that you got to, if you want to find out if you're going to like it or not, you got to try it. I know there are hams who try out DMR and they don't like it. And that's fine. That's the beauty of ham radio. We get to pick and choose. You don't get to do that in most of life. Now, the hotspot, one thing I do know, well, there's a lot I don't know about hotspots, but I think I'm figuring it out slowly. Is a hotspot just a device that you turn it on and set it down on the table and it works? Or does the hotspot itself require programming and button pushing and stuff when you're using it on the air? I think the answer is it's just a box that gets programmed once, set it and forget it. But that's a question for Bob or whoever, because I don't know the answer. And the other thing was I had to step out of the room for a sec at the beginning of Bob's transmission, so I'm assuming the 77S is an HT, it's a handheld radio, or is it more of a mobile radio? But I would think for that price, it's probably a HT. And that's not a bad price, even for an analog radio that talks. You know what? I'd pay $77 for an analog radio that talks. But this is analog MDMR. So here we go. Ham radio is going to suck more of my money out of my wallet, except I don't think I have any. K6PDG, but thank you very much to the net. That was very helpful. Back to net control.
Well, I'm glad to be of service, Kevin. I'm sure everybody is very happy to lend you their experience and what have you. As far as the hotspot goes, my understanding of it is that, similar to yours, once it's been programmed, basically you just turn it on, it works. And when you're done, you either turn it off or just let it run, because it's just running off of, draws probably about the same amount of power as a cell phone, because it uses the same kind of a recharging cable. Now, the hotspot, some of them, quite a few of them, can also be programmed to not only do your DMR, but can also do D-Star and C4FM, et cetera, the other digital modes. Usually, if I'm not mistaken, they don't do them all at the same time. I could be wrong with that, because some do have two antennas, so there could be something else. But let's move on down the list to Kevin, KC1MVX, and see what the additional comments he has. This is KC1TWR.
Hey, thanks. Not much.
That sounds pretty cool, though. I didn't even think that that kind of stuff was out there, but I guess it makes sense. Yeah, I'm definitely interested in getting into that digital stuff. I've got looking into getting my laptop mounted into my truck so I can do some stuff using that too. But hope everybody has a good night on the net, and that's it for me. KC1MVX, back to net control.
Okay, very good. And as far as putting your laptop in the truck or using it in the truck, one thing you can might want to also consider is getting one of those little netbooks, as long as it has a USB port so that you can attach either a serial to USB adapter or what have you, or a USB to the radio if the radio has USB. Either way, that can be small, light, don't draw much power, and what have you. Okay, let's go to Bob, W1RPQ, and see if he has further comments, questions, or whatever this round. This is KC1TWR.
This is W1RPQ. Yes, Kevin, the 77 is an HD. It's a nice little package. The hotspot. Interesting thing about hotspots, they can be programmed a lot of different ways. You can, I prefer to only program one mode per hotspot. So if I have two of them on my desk here. One is C4FM and the other one is DMR. You can program more than one mode on a single hotspot. The problem is, if it hits a DMR thing, then it's going to sit there and it has to time out before it will go to the YSF or the C4FM. So you end up wasting a lot of time trying to go between two modes, so you usually end up going, you know what, I'll get a second one and I'll run them independently. That way you can have your two different radios close to real time. So you do have to program it, tell it what you want it to do. You select a UHF frequency, and that's what gets programmed into your radio. Your radio talks to the hotspot on that frequency, and then that hotspot will connect to your Wi-Fi connection, and that's how you get to all the rest of the communications. So pretty simple to set up. But like other folks, when I started out, I spent a month before I was even able to get a contact to work on it, and then I started finding help, and there are a lot of programs out there that I just didn't know about. Let me reset. Keep in mind that DMR radios are commercial radios. They are made for companies that use them commercially. Amateur radio has taken a small niche of that market, and we've been able to get our frequency ranges assigned, but that's why they come and they need to be programmed. If it's a VHF, UHF, we can program it with, but you're really just putting in the frequencies for the repeaters. In the DMR radio, you have to assign the contacts, you have to assign the talk groups, you have to do all these things because it's really a commercial radio that's for industry, and we've been able to get use of it. So a little tricky, but with help and the new software that's out there these days, pretty easy to use. So I wouldn't be afraid to get into it and give it a try, and definitely seek help because it's a lot more fun when it works. That's all for this round from me. This is W1RPQ. Back to net.
Well, thank you, Buck. It's always good to have even more advice, and especially with all the experience you've had. Okay, let's go on to Steve, NK1V, and see if his appetite is further whetted by the thought of not only a DMR radio, but also these hotspots. NK1V, KC1TWR, and the TipsNet.
NK1V. Yeah, I don't have too much more on that. I do appreciate Bob's advice. It's very, I struggled with it, and that's part of the problem is I didn't ask for help, or didn't really have the time to ask for help, or I know several people were involved in it, and I played around with it for a little bit, and it's not all that
difficult in the end, and it sounds like it could be a lot of fun. I've done, since I started messing with some of the stuff on my scanner and finding repeaters and understanding talk groups a little bit and all that, it's not that crazy of a concept. You just got to get all the right numbers, and there are, I guess there's those plugs or whatever that you can borrow someone else's plug or create your own and all that kind of stuff. So maybe I will at some point get more into it. Because maybe I should program something into my scanner and listen in a little bit. That might be something I could do when I have to spend $77 yet. Back to NK1V.
Okay, very good. Always good to have another project lined up. You never know. Okay, this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club on TipsNet, and it's open to all amateur radio operators that would like to join. So if you'd like to join in the discussion, have some thoughts, or if you have any questions for us, please call now.
Here is Whiskey 1, Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, Chuck, City of Groton. No questions. Back to net.
Net recognizes Chuck at W1FJW. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, very good. Chuck, we're going to give you instant service. What we've been talking about is DMR. Kevin expressed an interest in it as maybe something he'd like to look into, and especially the Radiodity analog DMR radio. And I don't know how long you've been listening, but maybe you've got some comments about that. Maybe you've got some comments about the upcoming VHF contest this weekend. Or maybe you have something even stranger to bring up. W1FJW, KC1TWR.
Well, I have a DMR radio, but I've used it very little. So I know almost next to nothing about DMR and hotspots for that matter, and I just now walked in the door, so fortunately I've missed it, but I don't have any other comments. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, well, welcome aboard, and maybe you'll have a comment when we get through with the next round. You never know. Something might pique your interest. So let's go ahead and go back to the top of the list. And, Kevin, any further thoughts about DMR or anything else? This is KC1TWR.
Yeah, I don't want to dominate the net here, but just a couple of quickies. Thanks again, Bob. Also, somebody, I think Steve mentioned D-Star at first, and I have heard, I was talking to Corey up in Maine, I forget Corey's call sign, KU1U, I think, and he has a sightless friend who uses the D-Star, and the D-Star is relatively user-friendly for blind operators. Of course, with the voice guidance on the radio, maybe it's not going to matter. I guess the one question I have clarification-wise is my understanding right that I could, maybe to get started, I could just operate the radio without a hotspot. The caveat would be that I would be limited to what I could reach over the air as far as repeaters that have a DMR and a limited amount of people and groups to talk to, because that's just the way it is in Connecticut. It's a little bit limited without using a hotspot and accessing other stuff and other digital modes. So is that an accurate summation? And other than that, let's see, the contest this weekend. Haven't given it too much thought. Basically, I probably will get on Simplex on 2 meters and see what's going on. Maybe I can work Mount Greylock again. I have a couple of other projects that are sort of coinciding with Chuck and Amber coming out and Field Day and all that. One is setting up a, I just bought the equipment and Chuck's helping me set up a Simplex repeater that basically will be portable and available for emergency use, but also can be used as a Fox. And the other project that's come about, ham radio-wise, there are others, but I think while Chuck is here, we're going to get a full-length doublet antenna instead of the compromised one that I have, and we're going to put that up over the roof, kind of the way the G5RV used to be. And I'm excited about that, particularly having a good tuner, and it's going to be about 130 feet long in total, I think. Need to double check that next time I talk to Chuck, but that's the way it looks. And if nothing else, should improve my noise problem on HF. I have a high noise level a lot of times, higher than I would like it to be. KH6PDG, that's it.
Okay, very good, Kevin. A lot of items to cover. Number one, yes, from your location, I'm confident that with an HT, with DMR, you can reach some of the local repeaters that have the DMR. And yes, it is a little bit boxed in. There's, statewide and things of that nature. But there's only so many channels you can get onto with the hotspot. That, of course, opens up more of the world. Anyhow, good luck getting the other doublet up, and hopefully it will decrease the noise floor that you are hearing. And let's go on to KC1MVX and see what he may have for this round. This is KC1TWR.
Thanks, Tim. I don't really have anything for this round. I'm going through the traffic ARRL net traffic system manual, trying to prepare for tonight. So I'm just trying to absorb all the information while listening on the net. KC1MVX back to net control.
Okay, very good. Very good indeed. Radio has been around for a very long time, as have radiograms, and so the instructions for the traffic net and how to manage traffic has been around for quite a while, and it's undergone a lot of revisions and really gotten down to the basics so that it just works, if you follow the manual. Okay, we'll move on down to Steve and K1V, see what you have for this round. This is KC1TWR.
And K1V. Not much more. It's a good conversation. I don't have enough projects, that might be a new one to look into a little bit. And slowly learning on it. And not some things I pick up like very easily, and other things are a little bit slower to gather. But we'll see how time permits. And that might be more of a winter project for me. But and good luck with the doublet, Kevin. That's wish I could get down there and give you a hand, but I can't commit to that. That's pretty much what I use everywhere now, and very effective. If you can tune it, you can do it. And the longer the better. Back to net, MK1B.
Okay, very good. Yeah, DMR in Connecticut, I know that both Aries and Red Cross, the way that they're envisioning when there's an emergency, that the local amateur radio operators would probably talk back through analog through a net control, and the net control would then hop on DMR to report up to state headquarters or regional headquarters. And one of the reasons for that is that you only get so many channels on each of the DMR repeaters, And if you have everybody trying to use it, it's going to lock some people out. And one thing I should mention about some of the DMR radios, or the code flux rather, is that you have receive groups. So even though you may dial in and say, I'm on a local, you can have a local channel, statewide channel, or let's say a TAC-4 channel. Well, each of those may also be receiving, being a receive group, listening to statewide. So even though you're talking local, all of a sudden your radio is taken over because you're hearing something statewide. So it can get a little tricky there, but let's move on to Chuck WNFJW and see if anything's piqued his interest. This is KC1TWR and the TipsNet.
Well, lengthening the doublet should help. It won't cut down on the noise, but it should bring up the signal, which improves your signal-to-noise ratio to the point where you can turn the preamp off on some bands, or maybe even drop an attenuator in. So it would be nice if that happened. The VHF contest this weekend I'll miss that. I'm not much of a contester. And that should do it. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Yeah, the objective of the VHF contest is to work as many amateur radio stations in as many different 2 degrees by 1 degree grid squares using frequencies above the 50 megahertz. So one of the things I found interesting in the rules was when it was talking about rovers, where people can get in their car and drive from place to place, sort of like parks on the air. And that way they can, when they're trying to send, you can't use repeaters, obviously, so you're trying to do everything simplex, which means you have a lot less range than HF. So sometimes going from one high point, driving, you know, 10, 20 minutes, maybe a half an hour to another high point, you can get more grid squares and more contacts. So I found that interesting in the rules. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list. We'll do another quick call out. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, open to all amateur radio operators. If anybody else would like to join, please call now. We'll go ahead and go around to the top of the list and go down once more. I think we have time for that. So, Kevin, KA6BDG, anything further? This is KC1TWR.
Sure, why not? By the way, I'm not sure if did Bob sign out or did you forget him on the last round. But real quick, I was interested in your comments about Red Cross's thinking for net controls. One thing I hope that they're giving some thought to, and very often this sort of stuff gets overlooked because it's so basic, and I'm not picking on the Red Cross, it's just a lot of times in our communications plans we forget this sort of thing. If you have a net control that's running a busy net, let's say on the 706 repeater for sake of discussion, and also monitoring and from time to time having to pass communications / traffic on the DMR radio sitting next to him, or D-Star, or whatever it is. If things are busy, you're going to need 2 people in that operating position. One to do the DMR radio, and one to handle the 2-meter net. And in an emergency, things can get busy. I noticed during the drill that was an issue with Tom. However, most of the traffic on the DMR side was brief and toward the beginning of the exercise, and then it quieted down real quickly. But in a real emergency, you might have both radios very busy, and it can be difficult for a net control to run an active net while also passing timely communications on the administrative radio. So just a thought. Okay, 6PDG, back to net.
Yep, thank you, Kevin. Very good comments and very apropos. I've seen some emails flying back and forth, both areas and Red Cross, with people's comments about how the drill went and what the goals were and what have you. And I am anticipating drastically different conditions next time, much more structured, much more organized, and hopefully a lot less pre-work. After all, emergencies hit out of the blue. We shouldn't be sending out WinLink software updates on a weekly basis in preparation for an SET. Emergencies don't happen usually like that. Okay, anyhow, we're going to go to Bob. And Bob, I think I did miss you last time, and I apologize profusely. I got myself sidetracked with something and jumped right over you. So you can take twice as long this time. How's that? W1RPQ, KC1TWR.
This is W1RPQ. Lost and forgotten, but that's okay. The only question I have for everybody is if they can give a quick synopsis of maybe what are they going to do for field day? What bands they might be going to hit, and what modes they might be going to use, and if they're going to be active or not. That would be kind of nice to know. And I think that's it. I'm going to be on digital, FT8, FT4, and I'll be on 20 meters, 40 meters, and 80 meters voice. Do everything I can except CW. I haven't learned that yet, so I guess altruistic, baby. I want to do that with my hand and not with a computer doing it for me. So maybe learn that this year. But that would be my question. If anybody else cares to comment back on that one, this is W1RPQ. Back to net.
Okay, very good, Bob. Well, maybe we will have another round then, so we can get you an answer to your question. And we'll start with Steve and K1V and what plans he may have for field day. This is KC1TWR and the Tips Net.
And K1V. Actually, I want to thank Bob for reminding me that my next project was to work on CW, and so that takes me off the hook for the $77 for the DMR, because I actually do want to work on that before and do some contacts that way and become a little bit fluent if possible. So good, I thank you for that. And field day, I will probably be flying solo. I will probably attach the K1 Hopper Radio Club call sign to my log, but I'm going to kind of be opportunity-based. We have a few things going on that weekend in the family, but I'm pretty much ready to go anywhere. So if I do, it would probably be something less stressful. If I have room, I'll definitely in the evening be trying to do some stuff on 80. I'm not going to be able to pull off 160 portable. And maybe some 40 or 20, and I'll hunt around on some of the hotter bands. But we'll see. And if I get a chance, I'm going to try to commit a few hours to, from like an actual setup and so on. But not really sure yet when what will turn up, but I do plan on it. If I get to a park and do it, then I'll have some serious, but that'll make it a little bit more fun. Back to that, and K1B.
Okay, very good, Steve. And we'll move on to Chuck. What are your plans for field day? This is KC1TWR and the Tips Net.
Well, a little up in the air right at the minute. Original plan was to obtain a QRP double sideband transceiver 2 and work FT8 and some other digital modes, and the transceiver came today. That's the good news. The bad news is there's some parts missing. So I think I got enough to get it going, and I'll have to review the rules. I'm thinking field day doesn't occur on the world radio frequencies, so it'd just be 80, 40, 20, etc. So I'll probably work 40 and 20 on the little QRP radio, and maybe I'll put up another antenna and work some sideband. I don't know. That's TBD. Back to net. W1FJW.
Okay, very good. Very good indeed. You know, my plans for this field day are still way up in the air. Some other things going on, and so prep work that I would need to do, I'm hoping to have enough time to do it, but we'll see what happens this weekend. Okay, let's go back to Kevin, and I know you've got plans for field day, so how about it? This is KC1TWR and the TIPSnet.
Oh, indeed. And I'm not sure if Kevin got left out that time, or maybe I'm mistaken. Yeah, we've got big plans. We're going to go up to New Hampshire. The North American Kilowatt Club is going to be doing field day. That's November Alpha 1 Kilo Whiskey from the White Mountain National Forest outside of Woodstock, New Hampshire. Should be, I believe, 5 hams all planning to go. And we will be being appropriate with our behavior. No kissing and hugging. Just operating radios and eating food, and you know, somebody might open a beer, you never know. So yeah, really looking forward to it. It's a part of New England I've never been to, at least haven't been that far up in New Hampshire, and I love mountains, and it won't be too hot. That was one of my objectives. There will be bear, and there will be moose, so I hope KC1MVX has his favorite recipe out for barbecued moose. I'm dying to try that. And let's see. Oh, speaking of Kevin, just let me reset real quick. If he is still in there listening, Kevin, would you send me a copy of that application? Email that to me. Our membership chair is indisposed at the moment, so I'll go ahead and process that for him. And that's it, K6PDG, back to net. It's been interesting. Interesting net, Tim. Good job.
Well, thank you, Kevin, but, yeah, missing two people, one in each round, that's not good. I've got to start focusing a little bit better. Too many irons in the fire, or too many fires on the iron, one of the two. Okay, but we are going to go to the other Kevin now, KC1MVX. See what his thoughts are, I think I know what his plans are for field day, but good to corroborate that, and see if he heard your request about the application for the club. KC1MVX, KC1TWR.
KC1MVX, I honestly thought you skipped me because I said I was going to be working on the traffic stuff, so I was like, okay, I'll just keep working on it, no big... my plans for field day are apparently barbecue moose. So, I'm talking to Brian about that right now, because I think we might just bring all the radios up, and Brian will operate from the tables, and I'll operate from my truck, because I've got an HF in my truck with 891, and I've got the ICOM 7300, and we, the one thing, actually, we did have a question, we remember there was talk about the MCU, equipment possibly being available for field day since it's not really going to be used. We were wondering who do we contact because we want to see if we can get one of those like handheld, like ultra portable, just 1,000 watt or 1,500 watt generators so that we can run the ICOM at a table instead of lugging my big 5,000 watt generator there, which isn't very practical. And Kevin, I'll email you the application. I didn't really see an application form on the site. It just said email here for membership queries. So So it's got my sense of humor behind it and not a lot of information because I assumed you would see it and know who I was. Anyways, KC1MEX, back to net control.
Okay, the person you'd want to talk to about anything from the MCU would be Wayne Grunwald. His call sign is N1CLV, that's November 1, Charlie Lima Victor, and you can reach him at his call sign at mac.com, so that's November 1, Charlie Lima Victor at michaelalphacharlie.com. So you can reach him through that to ask about using one of the generators, and, yep. Okay, and with that, let's move on to back to Bob again. I didn't forget you again this time, Bob. Hopefully this is making sense to you as far as what everybody's thoughts are. Are you pleased with the responses you've heard? W1RPQ, KC1TWR.
Yeah, this is W1RPQ. Everything sounds great to me. I will just caution my Navy folks and friends, as a DOD employee right now, I am under a travel restriction, and that is work to home, to work, and essential shopping only. We have not been given permission to travel outside of the areas. Now, that's the surface fleet. I would hope that the sub folks check with your commands to make sure that you don't violate any orders, any standing orders right now by traveling outside of the area. Just please check before you go, and then you should be fine. But other than that, no, it sounds like everybody's going to take a shot at something. I mean, even if you go out there for an hour on field day and you get a few contacts, that's fantastic. That's what it's all about. Hey, I can do it. I went out, I set stuff up, and if you really had to, you know you could do it. So that's really what it's all about. If you want to stay up for 24 hours, I'm getting a little old for that, so I'll leave that to the younger guys. But definitely enjoy the day. This is W1RPQ. Back to net.
Thank you, Bob. And I, for one, will not miss sleeping out, staying awake all night outside in the campground. There's a certain amount of, yay, we can do it type of thing, and a certain amount of, boy, I wish I was home in my bed. Okay, let's move on to Stephen, K1V. Any final comments, sir? This is KC1TWR in the tips net.
And K1V. No more comments. Thanks, everyone. Back to Matt and K1V.
By the way, Steve, before I forget, and I forgot to say this before I turned it over to you, is that if you're going to put your club's call sign in on the ARRL webpage where you submit your log file, it says to put the specific club name, something we talked about last night on the Tri-City meeting was the fact that you have to make sure it's really unique, meaning that, I mean, using your call sign, the club's call sign, I think that will work. But we discovered the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is here in Groton in southeastern Connecticut. And there's also another one further south, and I believe there's another one out west. So we have to be careful with that. And whatever the club specific name you're going to use, make sure everybody in the club uses the exact same name so that the ARRL can really put them together and not assume that they're two different clubs. Okay, let's go on to Chuck, W1FJW. Any final thoughts, sir?
No, nothing much on the thoughts other than I hope the weather's good on field day. It's always good when it's good. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, yes indeed, and I guess a lot of us will start watching the weather next Thursday when we're about 10 days out and we get the 10 days forecast, and probably it'll still change, but still it's worth trying. Okay, we've reached the bottom of the list, and I think we've reached the end of the first section of the TipsNet, Before we go into the second section with announcements and items of interest, is there anyone else that would like to join the TIPSNET? Please call now. Okay, we'll now start the second section of the TIPSNET. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? Please call now.
W1RPQ.
Stop time.
Okay, W1RPQ, go ahead, Bob.
This is W1RPQ. Two items. The first is the Wellness Net. We're going to go to 6 days a week. Sunday will come off the table, and we'll just go Monday through Saturday. Then the second item is for Field Day. Please, if you're interested, go to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club's website. You can just sign up on there to let us know that you're going to participate. We'll be sending emails and information out during Field Day to those people, as well as you can go on to our Facebook page and post pictures of what you're doing during Field Day and share those with other folks. So a couple of avenues there, and you can, when this is all said and done, you can send your logs into us. We'll tabulate everything up and be able to hand out some local awards for hams that do whatever they can on all the different bands and the amount of contacts they can make, and the prestigious award of the amateur radio operator. It's a club member that contacts the most other club members. There's a gazillion points in that one, so it's a pretty heavy award. But other than that, those are the two items I had, so let me send it back to Net Control. This is W1RPQ.
Well, thank you, Bob. Anybody have questions or comments for Bob, please call now. Okay, any other announcements or items of interest, please call now. Okay, we'll now move into the third section of the TIPSNET. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or are looking for any amateur-related, radio-related items? If so, please call now. Okay, this is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, Net Control for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Weekly TIPSNET. Are there any additional check-ins now or crosstalk before we close the net? Please call now.
Okay, 6PDG, just a quick afternet with Kevin X.
Here is Kilo 0, Juliet Echo Bravo. In and out, just want to say this was a good net tonight, guys. K0JB.
Okay, net recognizes Josh, in and out. Thank you for listening. We appreciate everybody who listens, even if they don't check in, but glad you checked in to let us know you're out there. And Kevin is Kevin called with a message for Kevin. So, KC1MVX, did you hear the message from KA6PDG?
Roger to KA6PDG. I'll stick around after the net. KC1MVX, back to net control.
Okay, any further check-ins or crosstalk before we close the net? Please call now. Okay. Okay, that was the last call. And seeing as we have no further check-ins or crosstalk, I'm going to go ahead and close the net at this time. I'd like to thank all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and thanks to all who stood by as we conducted the net. I hope you learned something. Also, thanks to W1AN for allowing us to use the W1DX repeater. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of the month, which was yesterday. Normally it's at the American Red Cross office in Montville. However, lately they've been having it on this repeater, the 147.06, on the second Tuesday at 7 p.m. Meetings are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Well, now that it's on the air, you can listen, but you can't comment unless you're licensed. Information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc.com. The net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use and turn it over to Kevin and Kevin. This is KC1TWR, wishing everyone good evening and 73.
It's K0JB. Correction, it is tricityarc.net.
Thank you, Josh. I will have to correct my copy here. I usually make that .net, but this time I read it verbatim, so that was my mistake. Thank you very much. It's tricityarc.net for the club webpage, KC1TWR.